The world needs serious Christians. Christians who know their work, who know their calling. Christians who are walking in the way of God. The world is dark. Last week we read in verse 16, the days are evil. But Christians are people of light. How can we let that light shine? Paul, in this part of the letter, is showing us. He is giving us the details. Vitukufenia kila siku katika kila part ya maisha wetu. And here in verses 18 to 21, really, he's continuing the things of last week. Remember, he was talking about self-control. He was talking about disciplining ourselves so that our lives are used for God. Remember, he said that we must redeem the time or make the most of every opportunity. That Christians should not be wasting their time, wasting their lives. But we must pay attention day by day and hour by hour. Pay attention to what you're doing, whether it's bringing glory to God in these evil days. Now, did you do that this week? Did you improve? Did you make progress in using the time well? Less time was wasted. The time was more invested for the glory of God. Less was just thrown away. But there was seed sown which can bear a harvest. Was the fruit of the Spirit coming out more? Are we making progress week by week? In verse 18 here, we have an example of something that is a serious waste. And that is a serious loss of self-control. He speaks about drunkenness. And we know plenty of drunkards. We've seen plenty of drunkards. Who ruins their life quicker than the man who gets drunk? Who ruins his household and pulls down his own house on his head quicker than the drunkard? Paul says, it leads to, or in another translation it is, debauchery, which means just without boundaries, it just all fallen apart. It leads to all kinds of excesses, all kinds of behavior that is just out of control. To be drunk is a sin which is condemned many places in the Bible. Let me just read you three verses out of the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 20. It says, do not join with those who drink too much wine, or who gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons, glutton a person who eats too much, they become poor. And drowsiness, or laziness, it clothes them in rags. You go and find the drunkards and ask their story. They'll tell you, one time I was living in a house. I had a wife, I had a family, I had a job. But I drank and my life fell apart. I couldn't control myself to get to work. I couldn't do my job. I couldn't run my household. I couldn't pay the rent. It fell apart. Proverbs 31 verse 4. "'Tis not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to desire beer. Or they will drink and forget what the law commands, and they will take away the rights of the oppressed." So the king there was warned by his mother, "Don't you be drinking, because you'll forget the law, you'll forget justice. You'll forget about your responsibilities." And now that verse doesn't actually mention being drunk. But we remember as we look at the teaching Paul's giving us, it's all loss of self-control which he is against. He uses drunkenness as an example that's very obvious. You know, someone who's gone very far. They can't even speak properly. They can't even walk in a straight line. But he's reminding us that Christians are to be in control of themselves all the time. The Bible says that the Spirit is a spirit of a sound mind. Paul wrote that to Timothy. To the Galatians he said, the fruit of the Spirit is, and one thing he said, is self-control. A person who has mastered themselves. There are many men, they're ruled over countries and empires. But they haven't been able to control themselves, their own desires and lusts and cravings. You can think of great tyrants in the world today. People are thinking about Gaddafi at the moment. Or we had Saddam Hussein. But there have been many. They have great power. In their countries, their word is life and death. But they can't control themselves. And the more we find about them, the more debauched, the more evil we find their own lives were. All loss of self-control is forbidden to a Christian. So if there's a kind of music that leads you to stop thinking and just to follow your feelings, then we shouldn't be having that kind of music. If there are places you go to, there are places where your friends meet, and it's all loud and there's the atmosphere, and it makes you to lose self-control, you say things you wouldn't say, you do things you wouldn't do, then we should avoid that. If your friends lead you astray, if you can't say no, then you should change your friends. But everything which takes you away from self-control. Paul says, rather, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Our lives should be led by the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. When people drink, they just follow their feelings. But when people have the Spirit, then they follow truth. They follow righteousness. They follow justice. They're being controlled by the Spirit of God. When people drink, they do something and they regret it. And they're sorry afterwards. But if we're led by the Spirit, then we'll be glad afterwards. Because he leads us to what's good. Paul uses this word, be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. The Bible teaches us about the baptism of the Spirit. And that is to do with conversion. That when we are saved, when we trust in the Lord the first time, then the Spirit of God washes us, makes us a new person, and he joins us to Jesus Christ and joins us to the people of Jesus Christ. That is the baptism of the Spirit. Afterwards, we baptize a person in water as a sign. Now, baptism in water is a sign because we believe the Spirit has come to them and washed them, made them a new person. Paul says, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. So all Christians have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit, it's not something later. It's not something that only a few believers have. But all true Christians are baptized. John the Baptist said, I'm baptizing you with water. But when the Messiah comes, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. All those who repented came to John were washed with water. But all those who are born again and trust in Jesus Christ are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, what's then this filling of the Holy Spirit? It's something different. Because Paul doesn't need to come and tell you, be baptized in the Spirit. He doesn't need to tell you that. Because you've already had it if you're a Christian. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is something different. I read you a few words out of Acts. It says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, rulers and elders of the people, and he preached to them. And he said, salvation is found in no one else. There is no name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The people saw the courage of Peter and John. They realized they were uneducated, ordinary men. They were amazed. Later, it says, after they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly, or with courage. Later in the book of Acts, we read, and Saul, who's also called Paul, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked straight at Elymas. He said, you are a child of the devil. You are an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. What do we see? They were full of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the truth of God with courage, with power. They were bold. They were not afraid. They stood before rulers, and they rebuked them. They stood before great crowds, and they pointed to Jesus, not to themselves, but to Jesus. That's what happens when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. They have courage to speak the truth and to obey the truth. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. And it's a command. It's something he tells us to be doing. The original words mean go on doing it. Do it again and again and again, repeatedly. Though we are given the Holy Spirit when we are saved, yet we don't have the fullness. We're not filled. But that's something we have to seek and to pray for. We have to ask the Lord to give us His Spirit. And we have to walk in the way of the Spirit so that we don't grieve Him. And so the Lord doesn't say, well, you're not serious. What does a person filled with the Spirit look like? We're seeing that it's self-controlled life. It's a life of obedience and a life of truth. Don't think it means noise, chaos, disorder. You know, you go to those meetings and everybody is talking at the same time. The preacher is shouting so loudly that it hurts your ears. The music is playing so loudly you can't hear the singing. And they say, oh, it's the Holy Spirit who's leading this meeting. I say, no, it's not. The Spirit is a spirit of order and of truth. Chaos is a work of the evil one, not of the Spirit of God. Now, we see three things in verses 19, 20, 21. Verse 19 tells us that those who are filled with the Spirit, they sing to the Lord. Christians are singing people. We have many things to sing about. We have many reasons to sing. If people win a great victory, then they sing. In the sports teams, even in the politics, they win an election, they win a cup, then they sing. Christ has won the greatest victory. So Paul says, verse 19, speak to one another with psalms, with hymns, with spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. All kinds of songs, but make sure they have some content. Make sure there's some meat in them, some substance. Spiritual songs, he says. As we look at the Psalms of David, we see meat there. We don't just see him saying the same words 100 times, but we see him going deep into the truths of God. It says, make melody or make music in your heart, verse 19. Something tuneful, not just noise, but something beautiful. Songs are ways of teaching ourselves and teaching others. Because he says, speak to one another. When we sing to the Lord. It says that's at the end of the verse. But we also speak to one another. We speak these great truths. We say, here's what I believe. Do you believe this too? We encourage each other. He says, sing, make music in your heart. not just from your mouth, not just words, but from your heart. The Lord looks at the heart. Meditate and think about Christ and his gospel, then sing from the heart. Sing to the Lord, sing out of love to him. Paul doesn't say just do this in the church meetings. It nowhere says this is just for church meetings, does it? But to be part of our lives. We're rejoicing people, and our hearts have a song in them. Sometimes we find it hard to pray, don't we? Especially if it's the end of a long day and we're tired. Often we can sing when we find it hard to pray, and it really helps us. It stirs us up. Oh, verse 20. What the people filled with the Spirit do? They give thanks. Spirit-filled people are a thankful people. It's a very simple duty. You don't need to go to college to say the words, thank you, God. Some very simple words. Thank you, God. Thank you for the sun today. Thank you for the clouds. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the colours in the world. Thank you for strength in my body. Thank you, my family are with me. Thank you, we have a roof. Thank you, I have a shirt to wear. Thank you, I have work to do tomorrow. Thank you for peace. Thank you for safety. Thank you for so many things. It's so simple, so easy to do. And yet, unsaved people don't do it. They find it so easy to complain, to grumble, to moan. Oh, so many things going wrong. Do you know a person who's always complaining? And some people like that. And they're always complaining. And you see that person coming along the street and you think, let me cross the street. Because I know they're going to tell me all the things that are wrong with their house, their work, their family. And by the time they're finished, I'm going to feel so depressed. Like they take their load and they put it on me until I'm crushed on the floor. A saved person, though, has to be a thankful person. Because the Lord has done so much for us. And if he's opened our eyes to see it, how can we not give thanks? Job, what did he lose? He lost everything. He lost his family, his work, his animals, his servants. He lost everything. And he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the things I still have. Thank you, you allowed me to enjoy those things. They were good. I didn't deserve them. I had them for a long time. Thank you, Lord. Even now you've taken them away, I say thank you. Even hard things we should say thank you for. Every stone in your way is one of the stones that you'll step over on the way to glory. Every stone on the path is part of the way to heaven and to glory. So we thank God for every step, if it's an easy step, if it's a hard step. Yet we know where we're going. And we know we'll arrive there. Now, giving thanks is Trinitarian. You get that? So verse 20. Giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we're filled with the Spirit, then we come to the Father in the name of Christ. As Christians, we have fellowship with the whole Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. We know each one, and we have communion with each one. It's one of the great privileges of Christians. Our eyes are opened to the nature and being of God that we know that he is Father and Son and Spirit. We know that the three persons dwell together as one God. The same in their essence, equal in their power and their glory. They've revealed themselves to us. How thankful we should be for that. Muslims don't know that. Hindus don't know it. unbelievers don't know it. Nobody knows it, apart from the person who by the Spirit comes to the Father through the Son. They know the true God. Verse 21. People who are filled with the Spirit submit to one another. To submit means to take your proper place under someone else. To say that person, their right place is up here, my right place is down here. And I'm content, I'm happy. I'm not going to complain, I'm not going to fight against it. I'm not going to be proud. But I'm going to say, that's my place. Just submit to one another. Take our proper place in life. Now, when he continues from verse 21, you can just look, if you have a Bible, and see the headings. Talks about wives and husbands. Talks about children and parents. He talks about slaves and masters. We have different positions in life. And in those positions, we are content to serve where God has given us to serve. And we do it with a motive. Verse 21 says, out of reverence for Christ. That means respect for Christ. Or in the fear of Christ. He is Lord over all. All must submit to him. All authorities are under him. If we fight against authority, then we're fighting against Christ, who is the Lord over all. Christ is bringing order to the world. He's bringing husbands and wives together again. He's teaching servants to serve their masters properly and honestly and carefully. He's teaching masters to care for their servants, to provide for them, to not oppress them. Christ is wanting to bring that order into the world again, not to destroy it. Nobody should rise up and say, the church belongs to me, this is my church. If you don't like it, then find another one. Nobody should say that. But we should work together as brothers and sisters. We should recognize each other's spiritual gifts. We should recognize those who have a gift. Some people have a gift in leadership. Some have a gift in other areas. We should recognize each other, the way God has made us and placed us. Nobody should say, it's my turn to eat now. Or it's my turn to be the boss. But we should all do what God has gifted us to do and do it with all our hearts, remembering that Christ is watching and Christ will judge us all. So be filled with the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, not by any other thing, certainly not drink, but nothing else that takes your heart away from seriously following Christ each day. Be filled with the Spirit, be a singing person, be a thankful person. Be a submissive person. That's what the Spirit teaches us to do. May God help us this week.